Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the studio today, and we have a full house. Mm-hmm. We have Tanya and Beth. Thanks, Beth, for coming.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And Janelle and her mother is here, Norma, back there. What are you doing back there?
Crocheting.
And Miss Tara.
And Sandy.
Mm-hmm. And we just thank you for joining us. It's such a blessing. You know, I was looking back at my notes from the last 4 weeks, and I was trying to think of how this one that we're going to study today would relate to the one, and it does. It just kind of sandwiches it in. And I got to thinking, if somebody asked me what our radio station was about last week, I would have said, Jesus heals. Mm. And it continues right now in Mark. We're going to stay in Mark today. We are in Mark 5, and we'll start with 21 through 43. And today we're going to talk about the little dead girl and that's 12 years old, and also a sick woman that's been ill for 12 years. Hmm. And we'll just see how Tara just brings us together and what God has laid on her heart this time. I was always excited about that.
We'll see what God.
Yep.
What God does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. This is a really fun passage, and as Sandy said, it definitely is a sandwich passage. One of the things that we need to realize is that it is a process, a progression of revelation. And so we just left last month the passage about Jesus healing the demon-possessed man. And if you remember, the crowds were so scared, they wanted Jesus to leave. They were afraid of him. So Jesus goes to the other side of the lake, and what happens is the people welcome him. Mm-hmm. And so some of the things that we'll talk about, I'm going to have us do some comparisons and contrasts between the two stories we have today, because it's a story embedded within a story. And we will look at, you know, each of them individually, but then thinking through the progression of revelation. Because with the demon-possessed man, it was Jesus can heal a demon-possessed man. Then we're going to have Jairus' daughter, which Jesus can heal death. And then we'll have the sick woman, which Jesus heals disease. Mm-hmm. Do you see that is all authority under heaven and earth of anything that might be something that would be an attack upon our lives? Mm-hmm. So in Mark 5, Mark saw fit to help us to see the progression of how Jesus heals in all capacities. Mm. That right there is just wow.
It is. You know, I thought about that too. It's just like nothing or no one is beyond Jesus's touch.
Yeah.
You know, which I love, you know, that he can touch us everywhere we need touched.
Mm-hmm. Which is another aspect of what we will cover, in that there are six times that this passage tells us touch, that the word touch is used. Hmm. And they're used in different ways in Greek, but the reality is that it's about having a connection happen. And so we'll cover that as well. So I'm glad you caught on to that, Sandy. Hmm. So let's set the context. We know that it's the demon-possessed man was healed. They're going to the other side of the lake. And when Jesus finally, in Mark 5, 21 through 43, gets to the other side, this is what the Bible tells us. He gets out of the boat, and a large crowd gathers around him. And he's out by the lake, and then all of a sudden, one of the synagogue rulers, Jairus, comes up, and he falls at Jesus' feet, and he begins to beg him. He says, "My little daughter is dying. Would you please come and put your hands upon her so that she will be healed and live?" Well, Jesus left to go with him. The large crowd began to follow, and as they were following, they were pressing in around Jesus to where, I mean, people are everywhere. And a woman who had bled for 12 years was there, and she'd suffered so much because of her illness. She had been to many doctors, spent all that she had, but yet nothing was able to be done to bring her healing. When she heard that Jesus was there, she went up behind him, and she reached out, and she touched the edge of his cloak, because she thought in her mind, if I just touch his cloak, I will be healed. Well, as she did it, immediately the bleeding stopped, and she felt it in her body. She knew it had come out, and she was completely healed of her suffering. But just then, Jesus knew that the power had gone out of him, and he turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples were like, "There's people pressing in on all sides. Why are you asking this question? Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking to see who did it. And the woman, knowing what had happened to her, she went up and she fell at his feet. And she's trembling in fear. And she said to him the whole truth of what had happened. Well, Jesus looked down at her and he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, for you are freed of your suffering. Well, even as Jesus was speaking, some men had come from Jairus' house and said, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead. Ignoring completely what these men said, Jesus turned and he looked at Jairus and he told Jairus and he said, just believe. Just believe. Jesus didn't let the crowds follow except for Peter and James and John. And they went to the house of the synagogue ruler. And there, it was crazy commotion. The people were crying. They were wailing. And Jesus went in and he said, what is all of this commotion and wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep. And the people laughed at Jesus. Well, Jesus made them leave. And he took the father, the mother, and his disciples. And he went up to where the little girl was. And he took her by the hand. And he said, Talitha kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately she stood up and she walked around. Mark tells us she was 12 years old. At this, the disciples were completely just in shock. They could not believe what had happened. But Jesus gave strict orders for them not to tell anyone. And not only that, he said, feed her.
I love
May God honor the telling of his word. So here we have this incredible story, and so it begins with Jairus, and then it gets interrupted, and as they're on the journey to go to Jairus's house, and then it finishes up. And so, as you hear this story, I just love for us to hear up front, what does this story tell you? What does it speak to you and each of you in your hearts as you hear it?
I just think of Jesus's compassion for everybody. You know, he just loves.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
For me, I think it's about faith, because
absolutely.
Each of them, he encouraged Jairus to just have faith, just have faith. And then the woman had the faith to touch. Mm-hmm. And then even the three being brought with him when he healed the girl, it was the three that he was the closest with that were able to experience and see that. And I'm sure the faith was even increased that much more.
That's good. That's good.
I think it's just the level of belief, just to know that, you know, we to relate it to, you know, everyday life, just to know that no matter what it is, he already knows.
Yeah.
He already knows and already has had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And for us just to sit, you know, like you know, just to sit and be still, you know, not with apathy, but to sit and be still and know that he's got it.
That's good.
I think that the faith and the belief both counteract the fear. I can just feel the reaction of Jairus when they tell him your daughter is dead, how he's just on the verge of freaking out, like completely losing it, and Jesus stops him and says, don't be afraid, just believe. How he's counteracting that fear with belief and with faith.
Yeah, he always has a teaching moment, doesn't he? Always.
It's always there. You know, because of what you just said, I'm going to tag on to the fear for a moment. Because we ended last week with a group of people that were afraid. And what were they afraid of? What had they seen Jesus do? Let's tie it in, because I want us to see that there's three levels of fear revealed in Mark 5. What were the people afraid of? Jesus had just healed the demon-possessed man, and what had happened? He had cast out
the demons into the pigs.
And they were in the water dead. And so they're afraid of what he did. And because they were afraid, what did they ask him to do?
Leave.
They didn't even want him to stay. Okay. Janelle. I just went blank. Like, I love you. I just have to do that to my best friend. Everybody in here knows I've done it to them at some point, so welcome to the family. Janelle says that Jairus' fear is something that's going to happen with his daughter. Would you call that an anxiety? Okay.
Yeah.
So the crowds were afraid of his power, the authority they saw. Jairus is afraid for a family member, so something that might cause us anxiety. What was the woman who bled afraid of? Because it tells us in Scripture that she was afraid. Jesus turned, he was asking, who did this?
Because she had touched him.
And that's she's unclean. And then she touched him, which is a no-no.
And
culture.
It was a cultural, a fear of being caught, you know, and the cultural what is not socially acceptable.
Plus, she was also an outcast already. socially because of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so to make known what she had done, to socially even get near him, to socially speak to him, to touch him, I mean, on many levels, a woman, a person who is bleeding according to Levitical law, all of these things, she, yeah. So do you see that we have here three types of fear that Mark wants us to see that need to be cast out? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like levels of things that he brings out that it, until you start digging into the story, and I was just blown away this morning, it just, as I kept going over, I'm like, God, I love how you just keep bringing truths in as I study the word. It's just faithful. And so on our own lives, as we deal with circumstances, we have where when we see something where we see power and authority, it's the fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. We don't know what to do, right? Mm-hmm. We're afraid. And so, but Jesus was the answer. Mm-hmm. In our own lives, we will have illness or be a social outcast or something where society says we're not acceptable or unclean, or we have done something in order to draw into the presence of God. We might have fear in those areas. And then we will also have fear for those that we love, you know. Mm. And in each case, Jesus ministered and took care of the need. Now, the crowds, they pushed him away. He walked on. Mm-hmm. With Jairus, you know, we see he meets the need. With the woman, we see he meets the need. So do you see how he casts out all fear? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Powerful.
I know. It's like, I love it. So what is the process that we need to take based on their example then as we are confronted with fear?
Are you talking about what they did?
Just as Jairus.
Say it loud, say it proud, and then just move on.
Okay, there we go. Well, they knew that Jesus would be the source of their hope and their help, you know? And so they came to him and begged him or touched him, came near to him.
Okay. And they all fell down on their feet. Last story, the demon-possessed man did, you know, Jairus did, and so did the woman that was being healed.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, she touched the bottom of his cloak, and the father fell at Jesus' feet.
Yeah, and the demon-possessed man fell as a demon-possessed man at his feet.
Yeah. That's quite a visual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. So you've got the humility. As we think on this, how do these physical displays in our life build our faith? What you guys just described, the going to Jesus, the bowing before Jesus, the reaching out to touch him. In the case of, actually, the demon-possessed man calls out his name, Jairus, he calls out and, you know, for help. And the only one that is silent until she's questioned is, but even in silence and in verbal, it built faith. Mm-hmm. So how do they build faith? Doing the physical movement.
Action.
In these, how does it build your faith? Or why?
The action itself, how it builds it?
I think it's all about kind of coming to him and having that, your perspective changed.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and I think Beth hit it too when she talked about be still. You know, we need to be still before him on our knees, on our face, whatever, you know, sitting.
Because sometimes we're overcome by what we're walking
through. The circumstances.
Yeah. And our vision is skewed, our perspective is skewed.
Yes.
And it needs to be broadened and back to his perspective.
And yeah, even things that seem so overwhelming and so impossible. Like, I mean, this woman had been suffering for 12 years. Mm-hmm. If anyone knew, realistically speaking, that it was not going to be cured just like that without divine intervention, it was her. Like, she knew that this was something that, like, I'm sure she'd seen doctors and nothing had worked. But she knew, she thought to herself, if I can just touch his cloak, I will be healed. Mm-hmm. She just knew that that Jesus had the power to heal her, even though nothing else had worked.
Right. Mm. Before the radio session, I had shared with my friends that I just got new glasses. And my glasses are progressives in that I have three levels of eye range mm-hmm. visual. And that if I do not focus in on the one thing, I can't focus at all. Mm-hmm. Okay? The distraction abounds. And in this case, dizziness and nauseousness. I have many, many symptoms that come until my eyes adjust. It's the issue of focus. So faith in action, you know, James tells us, you know, you say, mm-hmm. you know, I'll show you my faith by my action. Mm-hmm. The actual steps builds our faith mm-hmm. because it gets our focus where it needs to be. So taking the time to humble myself and get up, and even though I'm tired, to pray and to read my Bible, it gets me focused. Mm-hmm. Taking the time to put on worship music that I can listen to if my mind is distressed mm-hmm. with something. Mm-hmm. It gets me focused. Taking the time to go to church and be a part of the community of God, it gives me focus. And so in each of these, that's the thing we need to see is how the focus narrows in. And I think when I am confronted with fear, when I'm confronted with that which I do not understand, like a demon-possessed man, that which overwrought me, the illness of a child or a family member, a parent or a spouse, or that which is devastating, dealing with something that's a long-term illness, that if I keep my focus where it needs to be, then that gets my mind away from where it should not be. Mm-hmm. And so we have to, when we're countering circumstances, make sure that we get our focus right. And that's a good place for us to start with this Mark passage and how he lays this out for us. Because mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, it is so easy to get my mind off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Does anybody else's minds go straight?
Lately, it's been crazy wild. So it's just like you got to lasso it and bring it back in, you know, kind of. But it's intentional. You have to intentionally do it.
And the act mm-hmm. helps.
Yes,
the actual
the action.
It mm-hmm. does. It helps just get it centered where it needs to be. And so that's what we're going to want to look at. Now, you need to come back. We only have a few seconds left before the end of this show. We're going to be covering a comparison and contrast next time. I'm going to actually want us to walk through. And let's look at the differences between Jairus's approach and what happened and the woman's approach. And let's see how they're different and how they're the same. And we also just wanted to say thank you to our listeners. We have some new people that we found out in Canada that are listening. We just want to shout out and say hello.
Hey.
And
hey.
Give it to us authentically, Tanya.
Hey.
And she's Canadian. And so we're thankful that you are listening, and we thank you for donors that give to the Open Door Mission to make this radio ministry possible. God bless.